There are many people in Iran who are in a very bad state, and I know that the only true answer is the Word of God, and I love to share it with them.
Across the world today, millions of Christians are persecuted. They face discrimination, imprisonment, displacement, and even death simply because of their faith in Jesus Christ. These courageous believers are our brothers and sisters. We are in this together with them, and we need to hear their voice. Join host Sarah as we discover their stories today on Release International's Voice podcast.
Iranian Christian Ibrahim Firouzi is currently serving an extended period of internal exile in southeast Iran. This follows his release from prison late last year, where he served a 5-year prison sentence for acting against national security. Although this charge was framed in political terms, there is no doubt that it came as a direct result of Ibrahim's decision to follow Jesus and to share his faith with his fellow Iranians. Release International has encouraged Christians in the UK to pray for Ibrahim, and we've profiled his case in our Prisoners of Faith material for several years now. But on today's podcast, we've got the privilege to hear from him directly. The following interview was originally conducted in Farsi by Joseph Hovsepian, the son of martyred Iranian church leader Haik Hovsepian. We're so thankful to Joseph and our friends at Hovsepian Ministries, as well as our associate ministry, Voice of the Martyrs, for giving us permission to share this translated version of Ibrahim's testimony.
Could you briefly share with us how you came to know Christ?
Yes, it started right after I moved to Tehran to find a new job. As I was searching for different programs on the internet, I came across a channel that shared the gospel and the good news. I became very curious to find out more, especially since the Jesus they introduced was so different from the Jesus I heard about growing up. Through contacts with these brothers and seeking more, my heart was open to him and came to accept him as my Lord and Savior. I have to add that when I was watching these programs, I was staying with some friends since I did not have my own place yet. As soon as they found out, they blocked these programs and stopped me from watching them. The only resource I had left was a shortwave radio broadcasting Christian programming. I would go to the roof of the house with my Bible and listen with my headphones on. This went on for 6 months until I was able to find my own place.
Praise God for Christian TV and radio programming and all the different ways that God is moving in Iran. But now we would like to get closer to the time you spend in prison and also your time in exile. I know that you have served your 7-year sentence in jail and now are starting to serve your 2 years in exile. What was your crime?
Yes, well, you could use the word crime since what I did is a crime under Islamic law, and you have to pay. But let me instead tell you what I actually did, which was basically my involvement with Christian groups, Christian activity, and fellowship. Usually, in cases such as mine, the court ruling is never given to you in writing because they do not want to have any written evidence of convicting you unjustly. So I was informed of my sentencing unofficially. However, the other ruling that I do have in hand and is published in the internet for all to see gave me the sentence of 1 year in prison and 2 years in exile. And again, of course, this was all for my faith and my involvement with Christian activity.
So were you under surveillance or were your activities being monitored? And how did you get arrested?
From the beginning of my faith journey, I was very aware of my social and political surroundings. I knew sooner or later this would happen, but my only priority was that people be able to hear and receive the word of God. So I lived a normal life, working at a job and also sharing my faith with whomever was open and seeking. On all official forms, I always stated my religion as Christian. The fact that I was being watched or not, I do not know for sure. But I know one thing. I openly shared my faith and gave Bibles to many. Whether any of them turned me in or were watching me, I really don't know for sure. I remember the morning they came into my house, started searching everywhere, arrested me, and took me in for interrogation. They had many pieces of evidence against me. I had handwritten tracts, Bible verses, and many other information that they had gathered against me. I never denied any of it, since I had not committed any crimes. I was simply sharing my faith with others. No one becomes a believer by force. God never forces us to believe. This is only through personal choice, a decision, and a heart that is seeking.
So first you received a one-year sentence, but how was it increased or upgraded to 6 more years? What happened?
Yes, my first arrest happened in the year 2011. God put it in the judge's heart to give me only a 10-month sentence. After 10 months, I was released, and of course, I continued to be a witness for Christ and didn't stop any of my activities. So I was arrested again in 2013. This continued as I was released again in March of 2013. Through many accusations and the scrutiny of the system, I had to appear in court many more times for my involvement in Christian activities, attending a particular conference, even as far as accusing me of being an informant and working against the government. Each time the sentence was increased for a different accusation, which when asked to show evidence, they were never able to prove. As I was getting ready to turn myself in to serve my sentence, I remember visiting some brothers to say goodbye. I had been visiting for about an hour when the doorbell rang and agents came in to interrogate everyone. They asked for an ID, which I did not have since the government had taken it from me. Finally, another agent came in who recognized me from other cases. It was here that they again accused me of conducting a Bible study group. This time, my case was sent to Tehran's civil court, where they handled special cases, and another 5 years were added to the initial one-year sentence. At one of my court appearances, the judge openly told me they would dismiss my case and free me if I would simply renounce my faith and also convince other converts to renounce their faith. I never responded to these offers, never argued or compromised in any way. I also did have other cases where they offered a way out. Again, another judge asked me to renounce so I could have a lighter sentence, but that was absolutely not an option for me. I could never turn my back on my faith and submit to this. And by God's grace, I endured a few years in prison in exchange for an eternity with Him. Some of these allegations I did not accept or agree with. Therefore, I could never ask the government for forgiveness or dismissal, because that would be admitting guilt. I know I did nothing wrong and never regret my testimony for Christ.
Almost 26 years ago, when my father, who was the head of Protestant churches in Iran, was brutally martyred, and when I personally was faced with his stabbed body and corpse, everything changed for me starting that moment. Everything went dark from that moment for me, and I clearly remember that I was thinking, would I be able to ever smile or laugh after this point that I have lost my father? So definitely it was a very challenging period of time, a lot of confusion and questions, but at the same time, still there was light at the end of the tunnel and a sign of living hope. And the interesting part is that I received that hope for living, hope for today and another day, was through the Word of God, but also was through the people and believers that were surrounding me, all of which was bringing me healing from the situation and anger and desire for revenge. So my question to you, as someone that have served 7 years in prison in a place that I'm sure hasn't been a 5-star hotel, and you have been dealt in different ways and different situations and circumstances. So I'm sure there has been some moments or time that you were under pressure, and maybe the question came up for you that, was it really worth it? Does God really see this situation? Is He still involved in my life? And if you were experiencing these challenges in those circumstances, what were some of the key elements that helped you to move forward? And were there any particular examples of people in your life that you thought of them and said, this person ran the race to the end, and I'm going to follow that example?
Yes, we can never have anything bigger or more valuable than God Himself and His wonderful presence with us at all times. So in that sense, I have to say it was absolutely worth it. Nevertheless, it was a very difficult journey, and the testimony and example of those from prior generations was truly an inspiration. Even though I never met your father, I have to say I truly love and admire him. I was 8 years old when your father was martyred. His story of courage and faith, unchanging determination, truly helped me learn and grow and sustained me in my journey. What your father stood for and ultimately gave his life for is the reason why I only got imprisoned instead of a more gruesome punishment. Same with Martyr Sudman, who had a family with 4 children. Yet when he was out on bail, he chose not to flee the country, even though he knew his verdict was death by hanging. Your father gave his life up for people like myself, so that today I can have a voice. During my time in prison, I regularly listened to tapes of your father's sermons, which was preached while he was facing persecution himself, and it really strengthened my faith. It felt as though he was standing right there in front of me in my prison cell, sharing how he dealt with the ongoing persecution. Now here I was, faced with the same situation, so the lessons I learned from your father enabled me to stand firm. In the same way that the prior generation was willing to give up their lives to improve the circumstances of my generation of believers, my hope has been to follow in their footsteps by staying faithful to God in Iran, so that we may also be able to improve the situation for next generation of converts and believers. And as a result, maybe they won't have to be imprisoned for their faith.
Today we're hearing from Iranian Christian Ibrahim Farouzi in a translated recording produced by Hovsepian Ministries and provided to us with their consent. We've heard how Ibrahim was harassed by the authorities for practicing his faith and how he was arrested and sentenced. Keep on listening as Ibrahim goes on to talk about his time in prison and his burden both to share the gospel with those who don't know Jesus and to work for greater freedoms for those who do.
So a question for you, how would you say the believers in general are treated in prison? How were you treated as a believer when you were in prison? Did other prisoners accept you? Would you say you were treated fairly?
Well, again, I just want to emphasize that the answer to your question might be different for other prisoners since their experience wasn't necessarily the same as mine. But for me personally, since I openly shared my faith with others and the love and the message of freedom in Christ, it created an easy and good relationship with them. And if their intention from imprisoning us was to discourage us from sharing the message of the gospel with others, it worked quite the opposite, because once you're inside prison, you realize the value of freedom from bondage even more, and everyone is more open to receive the good news. I always showed love and grace to others, never projecting an image of superiority. So that's why I never had any bad experiences and was never abused by anyone. For those who are still in prison, despite all negative reports they constantly give you, that you are forgotten by others, know without a doubt others are praying for you and intercede on your behalf. You are never forgotten or alone. You will find out when you finish your time and find out how many people prayed for you. Now, for those who are outside, I have to say that your brothers and sisters not only need your prayers, but they also need your moral support. Those who advocate for freedom and human rights should be aware of how to confront and address these injustices in Iran, for becoming a voice for those who have none. Many times the government declares that they never imprison anyone for their religious beliefs. This happened many times, and my question, and yours also, should be, then what am I and others like me doing here? Their answer has been that it is not your belief that brought you here, but because you carried and kept an illegal book in your house. As you know, Bibles are an illegal book inside Iran and are no longer being published. Therefore, we have to get Bibles from an outside source, and this is why they convict you and put you in prison.
So what does your average day look like?
Most days I have to report to local police here, then start my day afterwards with resting, preparing meals, and most importantly, catching up with reading many new Christian books, seeking God and spending as much time as I can pursuing Him.
And the area that you live in right now, that is very close to the border of Pakistan, is that correct?
Yes, it is very close, just steps to the other side.
And how are you treated in the city that you live in currently? Is this a similar experience as being in prison or different?
When the judge was sentencing me, he warned me of the extent of religious extremists in the area who would deal very harshly with people like me. This area is very different from the city of Tehran, but I found these people to be very noble. From the first day I reported to the local police, they were very helpful, answering all my questions and helping me to settle in. The first night I was actually invited to stay with one of them at their home.
I think a question that some of our listeners may have today is that considering you're so close to the border of Pakistan and can easily cross over without any documents and request asylum, why haven't you done so?
Yes, many have asked me that. Here are two reasons why. Some have said that Iranians convert so they can find an easier way to immigrate to other countries, so I wanted to prove them wrong. The second reason for my stay is I was not looking to escape the will of God for my life. I always believed I must stay and bring change through the gospel and sharing the good news with my people. There are many people in Iran who are in a very bad state and are simply lost, just like we were before we came to Christ. They are desperately searching for a solution, a way out of their misery. And I know that the only true answer is the Word of God, and I love to share it with them. I always share my faith with others, and I was never anti-government or working against them. God chooses everyone according to His will and has a unique plan and purpose for each one. I know of many brothers who had to flee Iran for their faith or they would have suffered harsh consequences. Many are staying in Turkey awaiting their approval of asylum. I pray God opens doors for them and grants them favor and uses them wherever they are. Please keep praying for those who have had to start over from nothing.
And my last question is for you personally. If there is any specific prayer request, any specific needs that you might have that we can pray for you.
Sure, I would like to actually share another scripture with you. Ephesians 2 and from verse 8, it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." This verse indeed is very true about me personally. I am no different from anybody else. So I would like to ask people to pray for God's will for my future and for all that is in my heart, for my people and their rights. Please pray for this burden I carry for my people, for freedom, salvation, and human rights. Pray for those who are still in prison. Let them know and their families know of your support. Also pray for the heads of government and the leaders of the country so that God can transform their hearts as well.
So basically you didn't answer my question directly and found a way to go around it. I'm just kidding, of course, but in reality, I think your answers once again show to what extent you put other people's needs before yours and how much you care for the church in Iran, for believers and the body of Christ in Iran. And of course, you will be always in our hearts and in our prayers. I know that many of our listeners, as a result of our conversation, now have a much deeper understanding of the situation in Iran, in particular for Christians, and are also blessed and encouraged by your story, your testimony. And we promise to continue praying for you, that the Lord would strengthen you and lead you every step of the way. God bless you, my brother.
Thank you, Brother Joseph. At the end, I would like to also just emphasize that I don't want people to get discouraged by hearing stories of people like myself being imprisoned or other believers being persecuted in Iran and other countries. But instead, I want them to emphasize on the fact that God is with the church in Iran and gives grace and strength to believers to endure difficult times.
Amen.
Just like the faithful Christian martyrs in the generation before him, Ibrahim has dedicated his life to serving God and standing for the gospel in Iran. He knows the risks very well, but he has no desire to escape the will of God in his life. And he asks us not to feel discouraged for him, but to pray for him and to celebrate the grace that he's been given to fulfill his calling. Let's do that, and let's also allow Ibrahim's testimony to provoke some questions for us about what's truly important in our own lives. Thank you so much for listening to Release International's Voice podcast. Please do subscribe through your favourite podcast app and stay connected to the voice of persecuted Christians. There are many other ways you can get involved. If you don't already receive our free quarterly magazine or prayer alert emails, then please do subscribe on our website at releaseinternational.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.
Remember those who are in prison as if you were in there together with them, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Do not abandon them.